question is, why has the United States government not engaged more with the Central Asian states at a higher level, given the importance that, that's placed in the Silk Road Initiative?
So, well, first, thank you. I'm really glad that the Wilson Center held this event today, because I think it does give us an opportunity to have this kind of productive discussion back and forth of both the political reasons and the economic and security reasons why this region is so important to the United States and to many others, many other actors, as we discussed, but also to think about what's coming in terms of the post-2014 transition in Afghanistan and what it means in terms of implications for the region. And I, if I could just answer the question in a couple ways. First, I think as Assistant Secretary Biswal laid out in her presentation, one of the things we're struck by is even with the transition, there had been so many questions over the last few years about whether or not U.S. engagement in this region would sustain itself with the transition in Afghanistan. And I actually think one of the things that I really hope is a takeaway from this discussion here today is that as we figure out the shape and form of what that engagement is going to look like, there's no question in anyone's mind that the U.S. has a long-term enduring commitment to this region. It's a political commitment, it's a security commitment, it's an economic commitment. And I think that that really deserves kind of mention and kind of embracing for what that means for all the actors in the region. Now, what that's going to look like in the coming years, I think, has different components. And for the discussion today on the economic side, I think what we're seeing is there's a real recognition that as you think about a security transition in Afghanistan, an economic transition in Afghanistan, and a political transition, what we're thinking about are how to use these transitions as a way to actually use these opportunities to create new linkages that are much more enduring for all the countries in the region, that are not just about a crisis, looking at a decade of war and a decade of crisis, but looking at the next decade of opportunity. And increasingly what you are seeing are higher level statements from this administration. You're seeing much more deeper level engagement at all levels, and you're looking at policy choices and statements by the United States and our partners ways that we can do that. So I would just say that, you know, there's no doubt in my mind, looking at this region and both from my perspectives in this current job and in previous capacities that I've held, that there's an enduring commitment from this administration at the highest levels to the countries of Central Asia. It's manifested itself in many different forms and ways. On the New Silk Road side, if I could just make one or two quick comments, and I very much appreciated the presentations by all three of my colleagues here. I think one of the things you're seeing is that this is not easy, and the challenges are real, and it's something we talk about and we all know from the work that we do, but this is not something where you're going to see massive amounts of progress in 1 or 2 or 5 years. This is a generational challenge, and they're generational investments. So the work that we are doing today in partnership with countries in the region, with other donors, with multilaterals, is investments. It's putting a foundation of what a new decade, what new decades could look like for this region if they take certain steps to connect their economies. So we shouldn't expect to see massive amounts of quick progress on these big infrastructure projects overnight. But what we do want to see are indications that there's a willingness to have these dialogues, to work with each other, to talk, to have conversations, whether it's on difficult energy projects, whether it's on transboundary water management issues, whether it's on climate change and environmental issues. That's the kind of steps that we are promoting and supporting and working towards every single day. And just if I could say a quick word on the TAPI point, because it came up a couple of times. You know, in terms of TAPI, it's a project that the United States has strongly supported for many, many years, and we will continue to support because we think fundamentally it's in the interests of all the four TAPI countries and the broader region. The next steps are pretty clear in terms of if TAPI were to move forward, how it should move forward, and that's involvement of an international oil company and looking at ways for the Turkmen government and the ADB and the TAPI partners to find a sequence that would bring an international oil company on board in a way that would have a stake in the upstream process so that it could develop a commercially viable project. And that's a project we will continue to support. A lot of work has gone into TAPI from many partners over the years. We'll continue to do. It's something that remains on the agenda for the United States and our partners. So I hope we do see progress this year in that way. Thanks.
I think we all hope that what you say is proves to be more than hope and aspiration. I think there is a fundamental kind of basic matter of definition that we have to revisit. If you look at all the official statements that come from not top-level people, because top-level people have never gone there. We've never sent a president to the region, and a couple of vice presidents have waltzed in and out, but basically they've ignored it. But if you go lower in the pecking order and look at the statements that have been made, they tend to repeat, at least they have for years, endless recitations about the danger of terrorism and drugs. It looks like a list of pathologies. Intra-regional conflict and generational heavens knows what, and all these workers who've gone abroad, and it shows a disastrous state of their economy. Well, I'm working with a group of World Bank economists who are doing a study of Central Asia, looking forward 2 decades. These are economists, not political types. And their picture is very positive. It's not inevitable. They're saying if X, Y, and Z, then they can reduce the gap between themselves and both Europe and Asia. That this is quite attainable goal. It's a challenge, but it is possible. They're saying that. They're also saying that and this is on very hardcore analyses, that these countries have all done well on a global scale since their independence. And by the way, looking forward, that they can reduce the gaps within the region. So this is not a picture of pathology that some of the best economists around have come up with or coming up with. They'll be releasing it this spring. What is missing is a definition, a clarity in our why are we there? What are our interests? And what we tend to do, if I may take just a second on this, is to revert to the 1975 Helsinki Agreement, three baskets. Oh, there's security, there's economics, and there's human rights. And we don't know how they relate to each other. We don't think in terms of priority phasing or anything. We just mouth this. Now, what I would like to suggest is that we do have two really very fundamental interests there. One is, this is the only region in the world that is surrounded by nuclear powers. There are four, soon to be five, nuclear powers. It's not in anyone's interest that they bump heads in that region. How to prevent that? To build security from within, not from without. That's very clear. And to have viable economies that are stable. Okay. Beyond that, these are unique in the world, the largest group of Muslim societies with essentially secular governments and secular laws. That includes Afghanistan, secular laws. And open systems of education. This is extremely important on a world scale today, that they succeed. I've never heard a word about this from our officials. But this is in everyone's interest, and to support that, one wants to support open and responsive institutions. One wants to open and responsive institutions, if you will, democratization. That you want to support open information systems and open education. Now, here is a formulation that's very simple, that looks forward, and it's not just a bunch of cliches. Until we come to a clearer definition of what our interests are, don't expect effective steps based upon them.